Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
They got 10 products in, number one and number two bestsellers. Everyone sells them. They're likely going to be like, okay, here's what we're going to do. On number one, we're going to give 10% off across the board, and you're going to get 10% off your rates. Number two, we're going to give 13% off, and you'll get 30%. Like, they're going to have a plan for their bestsellers. You can make some deals in there and bundles in there maybe you can even get something exclusive to you for Black Friday on those things.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. Are you ready for Q4? If you're in e-commerce, this is the greatest time of year. I know John's had different experience than me. We've kind of talked about this before. Maybe we'll rehash it today. But I've been part of businesses where we've done $1 million on Black Friday. We've done $1 million on Cyber Monday. This can be the most glorious time of year and stressful, but you need to be prepared for it. So I want to talk to people who are running businesses today. If you haven't started running a business, hi, I hope this gets you excited. Wouldn't you like to do $1 million day? I sure would like to do another $1 million day. Those were fun days. And so, like, I want to make sure people are ready to go here and get them started. I know, John, you mentioned this before. You mentioned you have had some businesses that saw zero bump. Now, I have the same thing. My pet health business, zero bump. Do not see anything in Q4. I see a boost in Q1 of anything. Have you been part of ones where they have seen the bump?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely have seen ones where you see the bump. And, like, I think it's, like, I can see that. I think there are some factors that contribute to that or don't, as well. Customers come to, everybody knows what Black Friday, Cyber Monday is, BFCM, and all of that. That week, I mean, every customer knows what this is now. And so people come into that period of time. And I notice every year that these sales start earlier and earlier. I remember the first, when Black Friday was kind of online was a thing, and it was like literally Friday to Monday. And then the next year it was Thursday to Monday. And then it started being the start of the week before the Friday to Monday. And now it seems like you've got pre-Black Friday sales that people do now. I don't know if you've seen them. Like, it's like we're having a pre-Black Friday sale, and then we're going to... So it essentially starts at the start of November now for some people.
I got to tell you, my friend Taylor Holliday is like the head of DTC Twitter.
Yeah.
He's very much the voice of direct-to-consumer, at least on Twitter, X. And they're hurting, dude. Like, low ticket item. I think they're really, really hurting. The economy is feeling it. And I would tell you that I think those sales are going to start in September. Possibly like October. Like, it's that bad that they are dying. I'm seeing it in forums that I'm part of too. And so, like, if you thought they started the week before, like, this is gonna get bad, dude. People have so much stock, right? They like, COVID was this huge rise, and they rolled for a while, and then they're like, fuck yeah, we're gonna sell this much forever. And no, you're not. And now they all have this inventory sitting around where they're like, what do we do? I need to move this stuff.
Yeah, and I think there are big differences. Like, there is a huge segment of the e-commerce market that makes a majority of their annual revenue in Q4.
Yeah.
It's just not, high-ticket dropshipping is not that. We tend to see more steady and predictable sales throughout the year. And yes, some niches have seasonality. Like, part of the year is more busy than others. Some are fairly steady throughout the year, but I think even in a high-ticket dropshipping business where you can see a decent bump in this period of the year, it's not the same. It's not the same sort of bump that you see if you're a lower ticket type of D2C business or something like that, or a business that people buy for gifts for Christmas or things like that as well. This time of year also has that factor. High ticket dropshipping products don't tend to be gift giving products, right? So pre-Christmas, you don't have the same sort of bump, but you probably sell more in like March or April or May than a lot of lower ticket businesses sell, right? And so it swings and roundabouts. But I think, where you get, part of it is like, do you have high ticket products that people are buying at this time of year? Customers do come into this period of time with an expectation that they're going to see good deals. Like, so I think how you prepare that, how you position those, the marketing that you do both in the lead up to and during the time period is like, because I see some people that don't have a bump and they're not really doing anything. They're like, oh, my Black Friday sale is 5% off. And it's kind of like, yeah, if I'm a customer, am I really excited by that proposition? Probably not. Like, customer comes to Black Friday, they've got X amount of money to spend. It's not like an unlimited bucket and every customer just buys every single deal that they see that they're interested in. Most people have a limit that they're going to spend at any one point in time. And so I believe that they go and spend it on the best deals that get put in front of them for the things that they want the most, right? And so if you're, and you're in your business, you know, niche to niche and different suppliers and all of this sort of thing, for some people, I think it's easier to come up with a really great, attractive offer than for others. But I think, if you get creative with it, and we'll probably talk about what that looks like as we go through this episode, you can, if you want to put in the effort for this time of year, I think you can, find ways to, use it to your advantage for sure. If you're listening in and you'd like to take the first steps towards building your own high-ticket dropshipping business, head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go, where we've got a free training waiting for you that's going to walk you through the first steps you need to take to start your own high-ticket dropshipping business. And I'm going to walk you through an actual example of what one of these businesses looks like.
You said these aren't like gifts or Christmas gifts. There is one avatar, and I tell you it on many shows who it is. It's the affluent white male who's like head of the household. They bought for everybody else and they're like, I'm fucking buying what I want. Where you'll often see that those same businesses get a boost in Q1 as well. So if I remember correctly, I want to say that business that we did $1 million days was more like a, on a quarter to quarter basis, it was like 3 million Q1, 1.5 Q2, 1.5 Q3, 6 million Q4, right? And so like, That's a giant chunk, half of your revenue coming in Q4, and this was like super passionate, right? Affluent white male, they want to spend money on their passions, right? And so I think this can fall across industries, but you're right, there are some others, we've discussed on this show. One of them was like B2B, bathroom products. That's not happening on, like, there's not a contractor out there going, man, I hope I get a deal on that toilet this Q4. You know what I mean? Like, it's not likely going to happen unless maybe you sell like high-end toilets or something. That is not B2B. So I really think it depends on who your avatar is, what market you're in, things like that. But it can be fun. It can be. And either way, to your point, John, like you said, there's going to be sales to be had in every market. Everyone runs a sale. All of your brands run sales. How can you be ready so that inevitably when those brands sell more than they have the most of the year, they're going to sell more in Q4 likely. Even if it's a little bit more, they're going to sell more. How can you be ready for that? And I've done some things in past businesses that I think are worth noting. What jumps to your head right off the top?
Like,
do you focus
as in
more
terms
on
of
offers?
Sorry?
Yeah, like where does your head go for Q4? Do you focus, like, I'm going to give very tactical stuff that I've mentioned before. But like, where does your head go? Does it immediately jump to offers?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think that the first question, like there's work to do here, and there's a time commitment that you've got to make to set your business up for this period. And so I think the first question for me is to commit to either doing that or not doing that. Because if you're going to do a half-assed job of it, there's no point doing it, right? So the choice then is to, 'cause you don't have to commit to it. Like you say, I mean, if you're in a purely B2B niche, I'd seriously think about not even worrying about it. Just spend the time setting yourself up for the year as a whole kind of thing. Just keep doing the work that needs to be done anyway sort of thing. But so you've got to make that call. And part of making that call about whether it's something you do or don't do is the offer. Like, what is your Black Friday, Cyber Monday, whatever you want to call it, offer going to be? What's pricing-wise, products? We'll probably talk about bundles here, I dare say, in a moment. So I think you have to answer that question, because if the answer to that is I cannot think of a decent offer to make or a set of offers to make during that period, then once again, should you be putting a ton of effort into a whole bunch of marketing and ads and emails and all this sort of stuff to run something that's just meh? I probably personally wouldn't worry about it. I would invest the time to continue setting my business up to perform year round, as we generally do anyway, and take what sales you get. You're still going to make sales that month. You make the sales you probably would have made in anyway. So To me, yeah, the offer comes first. I'm thinking about what can I offer people during that period. And part of where I would start there first up would be to have a chat with my suppliers, right? And see what are their plans. Like, call your rep at your suppliers or call the boss if you know the boss or whatever and say, hey, man, this period's coming up, September the 11th today. You know, like, have you got any plans for Black Friday, Cyber Monday? See what they say. Oh, yeah. We want to sell these products. Like, so they may have a plan, but don't expect them to have a plan. And totally, if they don't have a plan for you and they don't have anything to offer you, let's talk to them about that and say, well, this is a time of year where we can really make a lot of sales. Are there any products that you want to offer us a deal on so that we can move some volume? So that will get them thinking, right? I mean, they're going to want to move some volume. You know, that's an interesting thought. And so you can put it on them to come up with some ideas for you, or you can come up with some ideas for them and say, well, how about we really like this product, this product, and this product. How can you do this for us? If we bundle them together, can you do this for us? Be proactive as well with suppliers and just say, like, can you do these things for us? So they don't have to offer it to all their resellers either. If you're being proactive, it can just be your deal and you can leave it up to other people to call them up and have that conversation and see, because some people may not.
I'm really glad you went there, Joe.
You got to start. I'm really glad you went there. Yeah.
I don't think people think about that. I don't think people think about the first step. What ads am I going to run? What SEO should I do to rank a page for Black Friday? None of that shit matters if you didn't go talk to your supplier. So I'm like really, really glad that you brought that up, because that's where the real deals happen, right? So they're, let's say, whatever, they got 10 products and number one and number two bestsellers. Everyone sells them. They're likely going to be like, okay, here's what we're going to do. On number one, we're going to give 10% off across the board, and you're going to get 10% off your rates. Number two, we're going to give 13% off, and you'll get they're going to have a plan for their best sellers. And if they don't, that's where you should spot that opportunity and step in and say, hey, I got some creative ideas. What can we do? What can we work on together? Try to get an exclusive deal. They likely have 4 through 7 that sell medium well, and they were just going to run a standard fucking campaign on because they didn't really want to focus on that. They really wanted to move these two products. You can make some deals in there and bundles in there that like maybe you can even get something exclusive to you for Black Friday on those things because you went and talked to those suppliers. And then they're going to have 8, 9, 10 that they don't sell that much of. Maybe they ordered too much stock of number 9 and they'd really like to get rid of that. And they're willing to give you a fucking hell of a deal on it if you're willing to run some sort of promotion on Black Friday. And again, if you have a decent business and a decent list, you might be able to move those products for them and get a deal that you never thought you could possibly have, let alone the opportunity to say, hey, here's my projections on Black Friday this year, which just makes me think we should think of our partners on some of this, John, saying, hey, we sold this many last year. I expect to sell this many. What does it look like to grab 4 or 5 pallets from you and make sure that I have those so that no one runs out of stock this Q4? Like, are you guys prepared to not run out of stock? Is there a set cap of inventory so that I know how much is going to be allocated to me or how much I can buy off of you right now? Things like that. Also, if you know you're going to move a lot of one unit, you should probably buy that in bulk. Get a much, much better deal and be ready for that. have a 3PL setup, things like that. So I didn't even have that note in here, John. I'm actually really glad you said that, because like, that's where the process starts, is calling each one of your suppliers and saying, what is your plan that you have ready to go for us? And then where can we get creative?
Yeah, and I think I would carry the expectation into that you're going to have to get creative. Like, certainly in the high ticket space, traditionally, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, these sort of events, they're not always on your suppliers' radar. Like, they traditionally probably haven't been something your suppliers really participated in, and they may not understand the volume that happens or could potentially happen during these short periods. And so I think it is really, like, you don't just go into that conversation talking about, oh, hey, can you give us a discount? Like, go into the conversation like, the biggest selling period of the year is about to happen, where you guys can make some bank through volume. But to do that, we need to have some great deals to offer people, because that's what our customers are expecting to see. So you want to come at it once again with them. If they don't have a plan, like I said, for a Black Friday, which I think it's actually better if you talk to a supplier who doesn't have a plan, because sometimes if they do have a plan, their plans can be kind of shitty. Like, once again, I mean, if their plan is to offer 10% off, I'd be like, that's a meh offer. Like, honestly, that's not a no-brainer offer for a customer, because they're probably going to get 10% off you at any other time of year when they call up and go, hey, man, can you give us a discount? You're probably going to go, oh, yeah, sure, I can give you 10% off, right? You know, so if it's an everyday deal, it's not a Black Friday deal to me. I think it's cool when a supplier doesn't have a plan, but they're like interested, because then you can go, all right, well, what's the best we can do for, like, if we can do some real volume, like, what's the best deal you can give me on this product, and this product? Like, how can we, like, or how can we put these together and build a discount into it, because your AOV is going to be higher or something like that. I think that's probably a more exciting prospect for me of a conversation to have. And because you know as well that if they have a set deal worked out, they're going to put that out to all their resellers, right? And everybody's going to use it that's selling their products. Whereas if they didn't have a plan, but you cook one up with them, they may not push that out to anybody else or make it, like, advertise it to their other resellers. And maybe you rock into Black Friday and you've agreed that you can offer, I don't know, 20% off some deal or 25% or something, and nobody else is actually running the same deal as you, then you're really going to make, you know, some headway there for sure.
I think the suppliers fall on a bell curve. I'm assuming, John, you know what one is. If you're on video, you can see me, right? It's like, you know, it starts here and then big bell curve and starts here. So there's like the fringes of the bell curve are where you have opportunity here. So most suppliers will fall in the 90% that are inside the big bell curve. They have a generic plan. Everyone has to do the generic plan. That's the way it is. And then on the edges, you'll have these huge companies who have a lot of something that they'd like to move. And if you can work with them, they might have a deal for you. And on the very other side of this, you're going to have mom and pop shop. Like, often when we're selling high ticket products, it's these very small businesses who have just created a really cool product. I remember selling pellet grills, and there was a guy, he was in Chicago. He had three people working for him. He looked like he worked out of a shack. They made really cool pellet grills, and they had no idea what to do for marketing. You know what they had an idea of doing? They had an idea of making a really cool fucking pellet grill. And so when I would come to them with ideas, they were thrilled that I would come to them with ideas. And I think there's an opportunity in those small business small businesses of you having a real conversation, human to human, building that relationship and asking, hey, what do you actually have available? What can we do here? I'd love to, like, run you out of stock. I think that'd be really fun. I'm sure they, you know, as a small business, they'd be thrilled to burn through all of their stock and make a bunch of money in Q4. And so that's probably where your opportunity lies, is on those edges, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
I want to throw some tactical stuff in here, though. All right. Let's imagine you already know what it's going to be. So you need to reach out. Or oftentimes, you'll just never hear from your supplier, and you'll find out last minute what the sale is.
Mm.
You need to reach out early so you know what's going to happen. You can start building what is necessary. And three places I would look at where I think you can actually build some stuff that's necessary is product listing ads, text ads, and your email marketing. And so one of the places I've seen people really win is making sure their ads are ready to go. So if you know the price ahead of time, the discount you're going to give, one, you can get your PLAs a little bit of a head start. You got to ask yourself where the ethical line is there. I've witnessed this with a former client. They jumped the deadline by an hour, apologized later that they did so, and they gobbled up all the sales. They got all the clicks because they had the lowest price. They immediately stayed number one in the shopping box because of that price, and they just gobbled up sales. You know, figure out where your ethical line is and whether you want to do that. I don't know. The other place is a little less crossing the line is your text ads. Like, you should have text ads ready to go. And by ready to go, I mean, like, build them, turn them on, and wait for them to be approved, and then turn them off. Because all of your competitors will be building this at the last moment, and they won't flip that on switch until they're told they can flip the on switch. And then they have to go through the approval process, where yours are ready to go and ready to fire. So I would encourage you to build all of these, have them ready to go, get them approved, get the ad actually approved, right? And maybe they run for an hour and you fucked up, big deal. You can turn them back off and say, oh, sorry, I was just getting prepared for Q4. And then flip when they're ready to go, flip them on so that you're the first one there. Make sure you're ready to bid to be at the top of the page. And then the other would be the email marketing. So if you know people are going to come, you better have that shit segmented so that all the people who were landing on one page and opted in for whatever you had them opt in for on this specific product, you have an entire list ready. You have a flow ready to go of, hey, you've been thinking about buying this product. There is no better time than today. Here's the unbelievable offer that you'll never see again. 36 hours left, whatever, 24 hours left, 6 hours left. Give them some value in between. Just have that stuff ready to go so that when the time comes, you're prepared and you can sit back and eat that turkey with your family and just keep looking down at your phone and watching those Shopify notifications roll in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'd throw in a few other things. I mean, 100%, every single email for this period should be automated and set up well in advance. Like, you shouldn't have to think about sending emails or doing anything like that. That's easy to do in your Klaviyo account or whatever you're using for email marketing, for sure. A couple of other things I'd throw in there on the tactical sense that you can have set up ahead of time is remarketing. So hopefully you did this some time ago, but this time of year is the reason why in the course we have people set up long remarketing lists, like the maximum, like a 540-day visitors list in Google, or a 365, 180 days one in Facebook, Instagram, which is the maximum you can do there at the moment, of people who have been to product pages on your site in that time period, right? You can set up your customer list if you have a customer list in both Google and Facebook. As an exclusion list, so you're not sending remarketing ads to people who have already bought from you, unless you're selling a Black Friday deal that would apply to existing customers as well, in which case you would keep putting it out there. And then you get a bunch of banner ads designed, like responsive display ads, banner ads, and a, you know, square and landscape image for Meta, Instagram, and like, go to Fiverr and get that done. Like, when, if you know what your deal is going to be, you should have a bunch of images made for your deal specifically that say Black Friday, save this. This is the thing. This is the product. If it's multiple products, get it done for multiple products. Go to Fiverr, Banner Studio, order from them. They do a fantastic job of these type of image ads. You can also use the images for social media posts. You can use the images in your emails, in your email marketing that you're going to set up. You can put them on the homepage of your website during that period. You can use these images in a number of different ways, but you should be running display ads and social media ads to your longer remarketing lists for this period. Like, prioritize them. Set, once again, as Ben said, you can load them up in advance, have them approved, which you want to do, because display ads take sometimes the longest to get approved. They take longer than shopping ads or search text ads to get approved. They can sometimes take up to 5 days, I've seen. So you load them up in advance and then just pause them so they're ready to go and they're approved. And you just flip the switch at the appropriate time. You can even schedule them so that they get their switch gets flipped automatically at a particular date and time as well. You know, your ad launches at that date and time. So you can do that also. I'd really be pumping those ads pretty hard because, you know, the people who have already been to your website are going to be the easiest person to sell your deals to, right? A portion of those audiences will be people who looked, they worked out the product that they want to buy and they just hadn't bought it yet because they were waiting for a period of time. Seeing a fantastic deal on the product they're looking at will jump people out of their customer journey. This is the one time of year, if you've got fantastic deals, that you can skip portions of the customer journey. Because if a deal is just too good to pass up, people won't pass it up, right? That's why the deal being good is a good thing. Another little thing I'd throw in there, whenever you're talking about the saving or the deal, talk about the discount, if it's a discount or extra value or whatever you're talking about, talk about it in dollar terms. Right? Don't say you're saving 20%. The percentage is unlikely to be big enough on a high ticket product that the percentage number sounds sexy. You're probably not going to be saying save 50%, right? If you're like save 50%, that sounds sexy, but you're probably not going to get that big a discount. But the advantage of discounts on a high ticket product is because the product price is so high, when you convert the percentage discount into a dollar figure, even a lower percentage can sound like a lot of money, right? So, you know, if you're getting like 20% off a $5,000 product, I don't know what's the number on that, like $1,000, right, or something like that. Like that, if you say buy today, you're going to save $1,000. Like, that sounds better than saying buy today, you're going to save 20%. Way better. So don't talk about percents anywhere on your website. As much as you can, pump the dollar figure that they're going to save. You know, and then if you really want to get hacky on it, you can kind of try and hijack their psychology a bit more. Save $1,000, which you can spend on X, X, and X. You know, we're saving you $1,000 so you can do X, X, and X, or equate it to something. Save $1,000, which is equal to 3 months of your grocery bills. I don't know, like whatever. That's what I'm kind of talking about. So always talk about pricing in that way. But yeah, I think that was a good summary of, you know, the marketing things that you want to set up here. And the good thing is that you, like, as soon as you, this is why you know the deal first, because you can't set up any of those things without knowing what the deals are.
I'm a big fan of a checklist, thanks to you and thanks to Nolan as well. Shout out to you, Nolan. He's really good at this. If you're making a checklist at home, step one, call your suppliers tomorrow. Call every single one of them and say, what are we doing for Q4? Start that conversation. Step two, start building these ads. Once you know the deals, once you know the process, start building these ads. Sign up for Fiverr if you're not already there. Go get some remarketing ads done. Start building all the ads in your Google Ads, and then start building the automated emails to these lists. I think you can have all of this done by the end of September and just kind of kick your feet up and be in a really good place when it comes time for that shit to hit in November.
I think... Yeah, absolutely. I think, dude, we mentioned it obliquely, Ben, but I want to come back to this. Can we talk a little bit about bundles here? You're the bundle king in that. I know the business that you did, these big numbers that you've mentioned at the start. Sure. You guys were really selling bundles to the customers there primarily. Like, where? How should people be thinking about this? Where does this fit in?
I'm sure I could come up with ideas in individual businesses, but for the sake of this podcast, it would be more of what did we do, right? So the bundles came before any offers. And the reason we bundled was we knew people were buying these other products with the main product. So the main product might have had the search volume that actually got people to the page, right? The technology to run your golf simulator was the most important piece. But they also needed everything else, right? They needed the mats and the projector and the screen and the landing mat and the net. And after that, they even needed more than that, right? They needed HDMI cords. They needed a gaming computer to run the software. They needed a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so we were the first people to let's just give them everything they need and charge what it charges. And I'm sure someone listening to this is probably saying, well, if you're higher priced in the PLAs, why would anybody click your shopping ad if you're higher priced than the others, right? You're still going to get compared. Everyone's going to compare. And inevitably, they're going to be like, well, fuck, I need all that shit anyway. I'm going to come buy it because you guys offer it all. I don't have to go piecemeal this together from multiple different websites or from Amazon. So the bundles came first. So I would encourage you, if you don't think about bundles already, go think about bundles because your customers are buying other shit. And it can be as simple as the cover to go with the pellet grill or the accessory that you try to upsell along it that is nothing. Just go build it. Just throw it in there for free. It's all going to go on the same pallet or it's all going to go in the same shipment. And so it's not that big a deal for you, but it's a ton of value to your customer. Then when you get to Q4, people already know, or at least they did for us, what the sale was going to be on the main technology piece. So once again, like we were just going to have to do what we just talked about in this podcast, get our ads up, get the emails ready to go, get the remarketing ready to go, get the text ads ready to go. But we could then say, like, get all of this with this massive discount. We could apply that discount that we got to all of the products, right? And so now they're getting this mega bundle at, you know, not much more than they're getting just the technology from other places. Or they just still ran into the same problem and they knew we were a better solution. And... oh, it's on sale. I want to buy this stuff. And so, but a lot of it came from, if I'm honest with you, John, more than just the bundle, like offering a better solution, right? Just by bundling the right products. A lot of it came from those remarketing audiences that you mentioned. We spent a lot of time on SEO. And while we could attribute numbers and we've shared them on the show, what were the kind of numbers we were doing, millions of dollars from SEO, I think the real value came from when those people came back through an email or through some other channel because they were all cookie. They were all part of our list. We could remarket to them. We could send emails to them. So they might've been thinking about buying a golf simulator in, we'll call it March, right? March or April. They're like, fuck, I really want a golf. What's a golf simulator, right? And then they thought about it and they were like, well, I just got on the links in May and June. By July, I'm honestly getting a little bit tired of golfing at that point. And then they kind of fall in love with it again. And by the time fall comes, they're like, oh, fuck, man, winter's here. I'm not going to be able to golf for 6 months, right? And then we hit them with an email that's just like, hey, are you tired of being cooped up in your house and wish you could be golfing? We have the greatest deal you've ever fucking seen. with everything you possibly need to set this up in your garage or in your basement or in your man cave or wherever it was. We had all of those people that were interested for months on a list, on a remarketing list, on our email list that we could go back to and say, you're not going to find a better time to buy. You got to buy right now.
Yep. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And I think I like bundles as well. And the question people will come up for people is, oh, what if they're coming for different suppliers? Why aren't they coming to different things? Yeah. That doesn't matter. Don't worry about that. That's really a communication thing with your customer. Just let them know it's going to come in different packages. They'll be happy with that in like your follow-up emails or something like that. The other thing I like sometimes that bundles can be handy as well is like if you can't get a massive discount, like individual discount to run in Black Friday on individual products, but you talk about your savings in dollar terms, when you put two products together that might have as that the customer would use together, like the bundle has to make sense. You can't make artificial bundles and think people are going to buy them. Like, and some niches you might not have much of this capacity, right? But some you will. You put two things together that like have a 10% discount, and so individually their discount doesn't sound like a lot, but you put them together as a bundle, and so if people buy the bundle, they're getting 10% off both. And then you equate those two sets of savings to a combined dollar term number, like I said, it sounds a lot bigger. And it starts to sound better. Even though it's only 10% off each item, combined, it still might, once again, on higher ticket products, it might equal like a $1,000 saving or something. It actually starts to sound like a bit more of an irresistible deal than if you're advertising those products with the smaller percentage discount separately. And so you put those things together and make a deal sound better than it otherwise would. And if it's genuinely two products or three products or four or five or whatever that people are going to use together, then you can definitely use that to your advantage at this time of year. And frankly, maybe through other parts of the year as well, you can find a way to do that also. But I'd encourage people to think about that. Once again, when you're thinking about that offer stage, it's one of the questions at the start, like when can I get a deal from suppliers? What's the deal? Think about what are my opportunities to build some bundles here, to put together some bundles and work that into those conversations and that consideration as well.
I don't know about you, John, but 31 minutes later, I actually have like a lot of ideas for a bunch of our sites after this. So this felt like more of a brainstorming session. Hopefully you watching this got some ideas too. Throw them in the chat below. Maybe we'll do another podcast on some of these unique ideas that you guys come up with as well.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.